SEC Media Days. First time on the show, Nick Kelly, AL.com. What's up, man?
Hey, great to be with you guys. I've listened before and fun to finally meet you guys and be able to talk with you.
Yeah, and I can only imagine, you know, we all come with expectations into an event like this and how all that was probably thrown right in the shitter for you, AL.com, when there's allegations Nick Saban may return to coaching. What was your initial thoughts when you heard that?
Well, it was great on a just very basis of I was on Radio Row that day kind of doing some stuff for our podcast, and it gave me some easy things to ask about and easy things to talk about. That made it, I thought it was going to be a slow Monday, but it was not, thanks to Greg McElroy. So, yeah, I just didn't believe it. And checking with people, I still don't believe it. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, Nick Saban is enjoying retirement. He's got plenty of things that are keeping him busy. He's enjoying his, I think, what, $18 million home in Jupiter, Florida. He's enjoying Lake Burton in Georgia, and he's golfing a ton. And so I just don't see much incentive for him to come back to coaching, which he's going to be, or he is 73, so he's going to be 74 this year. So he'd be turning 75, say he came back in some hypothetical situation next season. So, I mean, just enjoy the spoils of what he's done his whole career. I just don't see much of a need for him to come back to coaching. And based on what I understand, it'd be pretty shocking if he did.
I mean, we always knew following Saban were some big shoes to fill. And whoever took the job, that's what they were going to be compared to for several years. And I feel like winning is ultimately the recipe to get that behind you. But with the standards so high, what do you think is kind of that bar? Is it playoffs or bust right now? Or where are we at in Titletown?
Yeah, 1,000% it's playoff or bust. It kind of was in the first year, too. People were maybe a little understanding. I think why people became less understanding was the fact they lost to who they lost to. Losing to Vanderbilt, I think, shook up some Alabama fans. And then losing when, hey, everything looked great. They were going to make the playoff. They were going to maybe be in the SEC championship game. And then they lose to Oklahoma the way they did. So I think it's not so much that they lost games in year one. It's the fact that who they lost to. But, yeah, year two. If they do not make the playoff, it'll be massively disappointing, and Kalen DeBoer will be back here in a seat that's going to be burning pretty hot. Because for Alabama, 9 wins is not good enough. And 9 wins in a lot of places is a good season, but not in Alabama. And that's kind of what Nick Saban created, fortunately or unfortunately, but that's the reality. So 9 wins in Tuscaloosa does not excite people. It is championship or bust. I know a lot of places say that, but Alabama, it really is that way. And years without a title in Tuscaloosa, they're like dog years. I mean, it feels extra long. It's this season, if they don't win, it'll have been 5 years, which they've not gone more than 3 years prior to, well, Nick Saban was 09 and then Gene Stallings was 92. So that was the biggest gap. And so this is kind of a title drought right now, which sounds crazy because it's only going to be about 5 years. But even Caden Proctor, their left tackle, said yesterday that he recognizes it's been a long time since they've won a championship. So I think the players know it. The staff knows it. I mean, they're under pressure, but I think they recognize that at the same time.
Well, I'm going to let you know, Nick, I don't honor anything that happened during the COVID year. So the title drought is even longer, in my opinion. But I kind of kid because staff continuity is huge. Player retention in the spring is huge. I mean, a lot pointing in the right direction. Does it shock you at all? I'm not trying to be shocking. I do say shocking things at times. But Alabama is my pick to win the conference this year. Is that, I mean, would you believe that if it happened?
I'd believe it. Right now I'm picking Texas to win the conference, which is not exactly going out on a limb there. I just think that I need to see it from Alabama first. I need to see what Ty Simpson is, what the offense is like under Ryan Grubb and Ty Simpson. I mean, I believe it's Ryan Grubb's going to make a huge difference. I've said he's going to make the biggest difference. So this will be my 5th year on the beat. He's the biggest addition I think that I've seen coaching or portal wise over that time. Just he's going to be not only a guy who can run an offense really well, but just control the room and really just do a good job of adding to what DeBoer does. And so, yeah, I'm really curious to see what can happen for this team. But and there's a lot of proven things, but I still need to see a little bit more before I feel confident saying that's an SEC champion Alabama team.
Well, I mean, we've had Milroe there forever, and I don't know. It's just so weird to me because we have so much buzz around quarterbacks when they show up to these media days. I mean, look at the Archmania and Mateer's handshake with Paul Feinbaum. I mean, all this stuff came up, but We didn't really talk about Bama quarterback room like we have in the past. Is that, do you think that changes throughout this season now that they got Grubb, now that we've kind of got DeBoer's system? Is that that second year jump that we kind of see? Do you think we turn around and say, why the hell did we sleep on this guy in November?
Maybe. I think part of it is Ty Simpson's not as, for lack of a better term, sexy to talk about as an Arch Manning. I mean, who else is interesting to talk about as Arch Manning right now? But even John Mateer, DJ Lagway, Lenora Sellers, because he's unproven, he is a guy that has been there a while, so I think folks forget that he was a five-star quarterback coming out of Martin, Tennessee. But he's never been that, oh, he was the top guy in the class or something like that. So I think that in some ways people talk about him like he's some walk-on that you know, is going to be their starter now, like he's like a Stetson Bennett or something. But, yeah, this guy's got pedigree. So, and I think what also overshadows him as well is they have Keelan Russell, the five-star freshman phenom who should be really good and people think is going to be really special. So, yeah, I think Ty kind of gets buried a little bit in terms of interest, discourse, and I'm not surprised at an event like this that he's overshadowed by the quarterbacks who are here and these quarterbacks that people have seen play. And then for those who haven't really played much, Arch Manning, he's a Manning.
And because we are learning more and more about DeBoer, you mentioned Russell. Do you anticipate any packages where he's out there? I mean, I can't imagine we're just going to shelf him for an entire season, because everything we're hearing from him, he's just a superb freak athlete, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, maybe, what do we say, halftime of the national championship game, they could use him, something like that, just hypothetically. Yeah. I think in an ideal world, you don't have to play him much because he is a young guy. I mean, you look at them out on the field, you know, we don't get to see a lot of practice, but we get to see a little bit, and he still looks like a kid. And Ty Simpson and Austin Mack, they look like adults. I mean, they have that more of that muscle, and not that you have to be the most muscular guy to be a good quarterback, but I still feel like he's young. And so if you don't have to put him out the right away, don't. And I think his potential sky high, everyone I've talked to, the word that tends to be the common theme is special. But at the same time, he's 18, and he's a kid who I think that you want to ease in if you can, because then in an ideal world, Ty Simpson has a really good year and he goes to the NFL, and then next year you can start a Keelan Russell who had a chance to kind of sit and learn, kind of like Bryce Young did back in 2020 to 2021.
Is Ryan Williams 18 yet? Yeah, he is, right.
February, he turned 18, so that's the new mantra this year, so you cannot say he's only 17 anymore.
So Alabama's been on a real recruiting heater here recently, and I don't know if you've heard the excuses across the state. They don't have any excuses ever under Hugh Freeze at Auburn, but they're telling people that Bama's essentially making promises they can't really keep when it comes to, money. I mean, let's just call it what it is, money. Do you have any knowledge of that, of Alabama, you know, how they're doing this and why Auburn is calling it that money won't be there when I don't think they can officially offer them until August, I think it is?
Yeah, it can't be in writing until August 1 is essentially what it is. I mean, obviously, they did not name Alabama specifically when Auburn was talking. I think people made that assumption, made that connection. My understanding is Alabama's not promising things that they can't keep, and they haven't in the NIL era. And I think a lot of it to me is they have a proof of concept too, of, because the tricky part is NIL, if you do have that deal in writing, if it's a guaranteed, hey, here's what it is, then that does count against the cap. So to me, I think a lot of it is, hey, here's what we've done with Ryan Williams, so to speak, speaking as if I'm the collective or if right. I'm Alabama. Here's what we've done with Ryan Williams. Here's how we have helped guys get deals and get promoted. And so there's a proof of concept, and it's not just, okay, we're going to help you get money or get deals. It's kind of, here's step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of situation. So I have never gotten the sense that Alabama's promising things that they can't fulfill. But then again, I'm not looking at the book, so right. I'm not handling that firsthand. But I felt like if that comment was interpreted as Alabama, I think people are gonna be disappointed on August 1st.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of Ryan Williams and money, is there any truth that, because I was hearing a lot of rumors that it really came down to the 11th hour. I think it was Ole Miss. I think A&M. There was overtures made. Was there any consideration or any threat, you think, that Ryan Williams was on a different football team this fall?
I don't think so. I'm sure people came after him, and I think that anyone smart would. But I mean, Ryan is Bama kind of through and through. I mean, he's got some great relationships there, and they have found ways to market him really well. And I think that's the key part. It's not just, hey, here's a bucket of cash. I think it's been a matter of them helping him get deals places and them really working with him, and he's got those relationships there. One person has been super key is Bob Welton. He's the director of player personnel. He was with Saban, and he was part of that staff, and now he's with Courtney Morgan. Courtney Morgan gets a lot of love as the general manager, and rightfully so. He's done a great job, but people shouldn't forget that Bob Welton's still there too. Him and Ryan have a great relationship. And in fact, he was the first one to hug Ryan as Ryan ran off the field after that Georgia touchdown. So he's a really key part. So he's just one example, I think, of the connections Ryan has. And not that it's just, hey, you know, we're all buddies and this is great. And I mean, it's more than just that, but I think Alabama has more than that. So my understanding was Alabama was always prepared to play defense, and they did, and he's still back.
I mean, looking at Bama's schedule, I don't want to say must wins. I hate using that, but there's some games on this schedule that you feel like you got to get them this season, you know? And obviously I'm a diehard Tennessee fan. I know you got to get back on the good side of that, but is there some games that you're looking at this season that Alabama can't afford to overlook? Because we're even talking about week one matchups. Everybody's talking about the great marquee games, and one of the last ones they're even mentioning is Florida State, and it's kind of sitting there like a little landmine. Are you worried at all about a game like that?
Yeah, I think that game could be troublesome because it is on the road, and you're going to be breaking in a new quarterback no matter what. And that's why I've stood by the fact that I think it's going to be Ty Simpson week one, because in the spring, you can call it A-Day game, practice, he didn't necessarily do anything that was super impressive, but he also didn't make the mistakes that we saw the Keelan Russells and Austin Max of the world make. So I think he's just the safer option, at least for that game, and so, because it is going to be really key to make sure that they don't put themselves in a hole like they did in some games like Vanderbilt. Jalen Milroe had two interceptions right away, and I think there's a pick six, right? And without having the box score in front of me, I mean, it got out of hand pretty quick. Oklahoma, same deal. So I think it's really key that, I mean, we're going to find out a lot in that game just because we don't know what this version of Alabama is going to look like. But, yeah, that game, it could be troublesome. But at the same time, Thomas Castellanos gave him some pretty good bulletin board material to print and put above every single weight rack, you know, in the field. I mean, just, you know, that Alabama coaches were licking their chops when they heard that comment. So I'd be surprised if they lose to Florida State. But, yeah, there are some, I mean, road games have been a problem for Alabama. And that's why I think they're in better shape, because they're going to be playing Tennessee at Bryant Denny. They're going to be playing LSU at Bryant Denny. Granted, they beat the socks off LSU at Death Valley last year, but still, I'd rather play LSU at Bryant Denny. That Georgia game is going to be tough, though. I mean, that I'll honestly kind of be surprised if Alabama wins it, just because you know Georgia's going to want to beat them bad. It's in Athens, but you can afford to lose that game. So I think if you win it, if you're Alabama, great. If not, you're probably fine. But they can't have these games where they go in expected to win and then they don't. I mean, that's what made Nick Saban's dynasty what it was, is the consistency. They just didn't drop those games. So Alabama's got to handle success better in 2025.
Can you confirm or deny that there'll be a sledgehammer on the sideline at that Vanderbilt football game?
I don't know, but it'd be awesome if there was. That'd be pretty sweet. Ryan Williams making that comment was, I mean, it's fun that there's this rivalry, and maybe not rivalry, but just this fun banter between Vanderbilt and Alabama of all two teams. And Diego Pavia, like, I think he's great for the conference. And he didn't really say a whole lot here that was fiery, but I just think his swagger and just his mindset is just fun. Like, it's I think too often we take ourselves too seriously and I say ourselves, just college football as a whole. I really just enjoy when people can realize this is a game and this is fun and let's have a little fun with it.
Well, speaking of having fun, so all week our presenting sponsor is MyBookie. So everybody that's sitting down, we're asking them for their MyBookie boldest take of the season. Could be something Alabama related, could be anything SEC related. Nick, you got what's a boldest take you got for us?
I haven't thought about that. This is maybe the toughest question I've had so far, so kudos on thinking of something good. How about this? John Mateer, Heisman candidate. Is that
yeah,
bold enough?
Bold.
Is that?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be really good. I think Oklahoma could be better than people think in John Mateer. When you get to work with your OC 2 years in a row and he follows him, same system kind of deal, it can pay dividends. So I think John Mateer, look out for him.
Yeah, you might be right. We heard from someone yesterday that told us, I've never heard this before, that Kirby Smart was dying to get John Mateer this cycle. So I don't know
really
how hard they went after him, but that tells me all I need to know about John Mateer. And the other one I think was well publicized was Bill Belichick was trying to get John Mateer to come to North Carolina. So you're sitting here as Belichick liked him, Kirby Smart allegedly liked him. John Mateer, he could be that guy this year. He could be this year's Diego Pavia, I think, in the SEC.
Maybe so. And look, I mean, Bill Belichick, Kirby Smart, Nick Kelly, elite football minds. So that's all I can say.
You got anything, Shane?
Oh, no, that was it. I thought that was the best question right there. We're expecting a big season from Bama, and it's crazy. You know, we take 1 year like a bad year. Everybody was so bad on Bama. I'm like, dude, people would kill for that record. There's four teams here today that would love to have that record at the end of the season. So I'm expecting big things from Bama, and I appreciate you taking your time to hang out with us today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Really enjoyed it.
Wait, I got one more. So I told you Bama's my pick to win the SEC. I also think they should fire Kalen DeBoer if they miss the playoff. What's your reaction to that?
Wow, that's bold. I would say they won't because the buyout's going to be massive.
Right, but they should, right?
I mean, like I said at the start, his seat's going to be really hot if they don't make the playoff, but I think they will. So,
does Kalen golf?
Well, I walked the region's tradition with him. He didn't golf that well, so I don't think Alabama fans have to worry about that.
Thank you so much, Nick. Before you go, tell our audience how to follow you, how to find your work.
Yeah, just ale.com, @_NickKelly on Twitter, and just check out my work and all my talented colleagues.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for having me, guys.